From an American perspective, the political situation in Thailand has turned into something of a circus lately. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Samak Sundararajah was forced to resign because he'd appeared on a cooking show called Tasting and Grumbling. For weeks before, Bangkok, the capital, was overrun by anti-government protesters. And joining me now from Bangkok for today's Underreported is Sunay Fasuk, the Thailand analyst for Human Rights Watch. And we should point out that the connection is not all that great, but we are hoping that you will bear with us because this is a really interesting story. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. I understand that it's past midnight on Friday morning for you.
Indeed, yes. And we are having a very heavy thunderstorm outside. Perhaps that's the reason why the rise is not quite clear.
Well, it sounds okay to me. Can you explain the latest controversy involving Prime Minister Samak Sundararajah?
Well, actually, you know, it may sound absurd that an elected prime minister is convicted by a court and then removed from office simply because he joined a cooking show. But the fact is, this current constitution is a direct reaction to a very serious problem of conflict of interest and corruption in the government, which plagued Thailand for decades. And Thaksin Shinawatra, you know, the former prime minister of Thailand, seems to be the most obvious example of those problems of conflict of interest and corruption. So there was a military coup, of course, in 2006, and after that, the junta, they got mixed intentions, and one of only a few things that we can say they have something good in their mind was to come up with a very specific clause in the constitution to prevent conflict of interest among cabinet ministers. So here is the case of
because you can't earn any money outside work, even if it's something as benign as being on a cooking show?
That's right. Even as something as benign as a cooking show, or even, you know, the money that you receive is so nominal, because what Samak receives from this cooking show is can be considered as nothing in political world, you know, but it doesn't matter whether it is big or small. Conflict of interest is conflict of interest, and it should be prosecuted. So more of like, if we can look beyond the absurdity of the issue itself, looking at the principle, we can see that in this case, the Constitutional Court of Thailand is trying to set a new standard against conflict of interest in the government. So Samak, in fact, is not the first high-level politician who is removed from office in this way. Before him, his public health minister was removed from office by the Constitutional Court before. And now the head of the government, Samak himself, the prime minister, was removed from office because of this. So a standard is being set. But too bad, in the constitution, there is no clause at all that would prevent a politician who is removed from office in this way from coming back again. Somehow, when the drafter wrote this clause, they believed that simply one conviction should be enough for such politicians to bear in mind that they shouldn't return to office, and for their party to bear in mind that they shouldn't nominate them back into office. But that seems not to be the case with this government or with the ruling People Power Party, because as in the case of the former public health minister and in the case of Samak, the party will continue to nominate both of them back into power. So the former public health minister is now commerce minister, and Samak is going to be nominated back into office again as a prime minister.
Before we move on to the reason for all the turmoil in Thailand and the structure of the Thai government, just a few more things about this TV show, because its name is so intriguing, Tasting and Grumbling. Is it a popular TV show? Does it involve complaining about how food was prepared?
Well, in fact, it's about Samak himself just went grumbling about somebody else cooking while pressing his own cooking. So he was the host. And Samak is a self-proclaimed chef, and he simply enjoyed cooking and tasting food. So it's all about that.
He didn't talk about politics?
No. It has very little to do with politics. This show is a real cooking show. Well, whether you like Samak cooking or not, that is subject to your personal taste. But this is a cooking show.
So tell me a bit of...
cooking show. He may slip in maybe a couple of political comments, but I would say, 95% of the air time was about cooking, different kind of food, Thai food in most cases.
Now, tell me a bit about the structure of Thailand's government. Is it like the British system with a constitutional monarchy and a parliament and a prime minister who is chosen by the party that has the majority?
Indeed, yes. That is the system we have here in Thailand. That we have constitutional monarchy, we have elected House of Parliament, and the majority of the part of the party that control the house has the right to nominate their leader as a prime minister. That's the system. And we have the upper house, the Senate, which is combined between elected and selected members. But what I can say is the government, the ruling party, PPP, enjoy control in both houses, in both the parliament and in both the House of Representatives, as it is called here, and the Senate.
Now, how long has Prime Minister Samak been in power?
Since the election was December last year, and the official procedure for Samak to come into office started in February this year. So he was in office not a long time ago at all.
And he was the first democratically elected prime minister in a while because there had been a coup, hadn't there?
That's right. Since 2006, there was a coup in September. Actually, this very month, on the 19th of September 2006, there was a coup overthrowing Thaksin Shinawatra, who was then an elected prime minister. And since September 2006 up until February this year, Thailand was managed by an appointed prime minister, a caretaking prime minister, and now Samak put Thailand back on track with electoral system.
Did the Thai public support that military coup?
Well, at first, yes. Surprisingly and sadly, the Thai public from all walks of life showed obvious support to the coup as the only way to end corruption, abuse of power, and human rights violations committed by Thaksin Shinawatra administration. Back then, before the coup, it seemed to those in the Thai society that there was no other avenues to deal with Thaksin Shinawatra. All the independent organizations which could have performed check and balances were heavily interfered by Thaksin. The media was completely intimidated to the point that they all exercised self-censorship. The court, the judiciary, were subject to interference and harassment. And the House, when the House of Representatives and the Senate tried to question Thaksin simply dissolved the House, so there was no parliament to hold the government accountable. And that was the beginning of the current group of protesters, which call themselves People's Alliance for Democracy. They emerged during that time when it appeared that there was no other avenues to deal with Thaksin. Then people started to take to the street and began a very long and very complicated process of street politics, what I call as street politics. But despite that, Thaksin seemed not to care. And eventually, there was a coup.
Well,
so there was a kind of connection between the two developments. One is this kind of the defiance to check democratic check and balance system by an elected government on the one hand. On the other hand, people started to resort to street politics, and eventually there was a kind of tension built up between these two systems, this elected government and street politics. There was a clash, and tension grew up to the point that the military used that tension to justify the intervention as a way to prevent bloodshed.
But Thaksin and Samak have been allies, haven't they?
Oh yes.
Samak admitted
that he was nominee of Thaksin before the election. So if you like Thaksin, please elect me. That was his message before the election.
I'm talking with Sunay Fasuk, who is the Thailand analyst for Human Rights Watch. We're talking to him from Bangkok, and please forgive the connection, but I think you can understand everything that's being said. So when elections were allowed, people voted for an ally to the ousted man who they had objected to before, which would suggest that they really didn't object all that much.
Well, indeed, it is quite the opposite, that the country remained deeply divided. If you like to compare it, it is pretty much like the situation in the States with President Bush. Now, that it the controversy divided the society that badly, but in Thailand, multiply that with 100, and you can get some picture of the situation here. And you know, even before the coup, you know, as I tried to explain about the clash between Thaksin defying all the demand for accountability and responsibility, and the emergence of the People Alliance for Democracy and that street politics, and then the coup, and we have people who hate Thaksin, people who like Thaksin, people who agree with the coup. And hate Thaksin, people who hate Thaksin but disagree with the coup, and then those on the kind of the ferry, and they disagree with everything. So the country was deeply divided then, it's still deeply divided now. And the result of the election, if you look at the raw number of votes that each party received, the ruling PPP, the People Power Party, beat the opposition Democrat by not big margin at all. If you look at this just raw vote number, the raw number of votes that each party received, but because of the election system in Thailand that allowed the winner to take all, so despite this small margin of difference, PPP, the ruling party, could pocket more seat in the parliament than the opposition.
Well, let's look at the People's Alliance for. Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
No. What I was saying, so the point is, like, the number of raw votes that each party received show clearly that the country is divided, I think, almost by 50% between those that hate Thaksin and those that love Thaksin. And that is now translated into political climate at this point.
But the People's Alliance for Democracy may have democracy in its name, but aren't they calling for a more limited democracy in Thailand? Some people have suggested that this is really a kind of a class war, that Samak supporters and Thaksin supporters are the poor and the rural, and that wealthier people who feel that the poor shouldn't really have as much power as they do would like to see a different kind of legislative system enacted.
Well, the People's Alliance for Democracy, or in short, we call them PAD here, they have given democracy a bad name because, indeed, they show no faith in the people or in democracy at all. Their ideology is a direct reflection of the middle and upper class doubts in the integrity of the rural poor or the majority of Thai people, is that the poor can be corrupted, they can be bought. So, yes, if they have the right to vote, they will bring back someone like Thaksin or Samak again and again. So in order to achieve a clean politics, we ought to have, you know, Thailand ought to have a system where power is taken away from the hand of the rural poor who cannot be, who cannot really be trusted. So this is the basis of ideology of the PAD, as you suggested. Yes, it reflects this kind of class differences. And it's very interesting that if you go to a rally scene and now protest sites of the PAD, you see that it's back up, I would say, about 80% of the attendance of protesters at the PAD rallies and protest sites. They are quite better off.
We have pretty much run out of time, but Sanai Fasak, elections are going to be held this Friday? Is that today or next week?
Today indeed in Bangkok
town. So do you expect Samak to be reelected?
Well, in fact, the system is like this. This is the day when the ruling party, PPP, will nominate his name to the parliament, mm-hmm. and then there will be a voting from all parties. And, of course, other parties can present rival nomination as well. And at this point, also there is a Samak emerge as the most outstanding candidate.
We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. Sanai Fasak, the Thailand analyst for Human Rights Watch, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.